Well, good afternoon, family. It's good to see all of you. I want to thank Mr. Worden for taking up pages 2 and 3 of the sermon. And I want to thank Mr. White for taking up pages 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. So it leaves me with pages 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 to get started with. Well, family, it is good to see all of you. It's good to see that we survived another week. And we've made it together here on this day, the Feast of Trumpets. Distractions, distractions, distractions. Trials, trials, trials. That's where we find ourselves today. But in all of the distractions and within our trials, the question here is, where is our focus? Where is our focus? Is our focus still on God, the plan of God? You know, a lot of things have changed in our society. We heard Mr. White as he described some of the events and changes with the feast in the announcements. That can be discouraging. But is it? Is it discouraging for you and me? It shouldn't be, family. We're used to this year after year. We're used to the adversary working diligently and trying to interrupt God's plans for God's people. Has God's plans changed? The world is changing. Everything around us is changing. We're going to have to change some of our feast plans. But the question I have for each of us this afternoon is this. Has God changed his plans for you and for me? Has he changed his plans for the future? Will Jesus Christ actually return back on the Feast of Trumpets? Can we hold fast to God's word? We have heard these words and these messages delivered to us year after year on God's holy days. Jesus Christ has not returned. We don't see signs of his return today. So does God's word still hold true? Many don't believe that God's word is true and that the Bible is not relevant any longer. Many believe that the Old Testament, of course, is done away with. But we know better than that. Well, family, what do you think today? Where is our focus? Can we continue to rely upon God's word? Even in the midst of our own personal trials, even in the midst of all the distractions that are going on around us. These distractions, family, are there to get our focus off of what? Off of God and off of the plans of God. If we find ourselves more caught up into what's going on in the world, then we're not focused with the plan of God. How do we support our beliefs today? Do we still believe today? You know, family, I like to stand here and tell all of us that things are going to get better. But that's not what this day pictures. This day does not picture things getting better. Things will not get better until this day has been fulfilled. Things are going to continue to get worse. Now, I don't want this to be a downer. But, you know, it's just like Mr. Worden brought out in the sermonette. These are God's words that we are presenting today. Not my words, not Mr. Worden's words, not Mr. White's words. Each man that stood up here read from the Word of God in explaining to us and reminding us of God's plan. But has God changed his plan? The title for the message this afternoon, family, is God's Word and Promises Have Not Changed. But can we trust his word? Can we still support and believe in his word? Join me, if you will, in Ecclesiastes 1. Ecclesiastes 1, and let's drop down to verse 9. Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 9. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. So the things that we experience today in our society is not new. These things have happened before, and we're being told this here. There's nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new. It has already been in ancient times before us. And so the world has seen chaos before. The world has seen strife and sufferings before. You and I are seeing these things today ourselves. But we are reminded that these days will come before Jesus Christ returns. Before Christ returns, family, it's going to be utter chaos. And I like to use Mr. White's phrase, God's got this. We can hold fast to that, and we can trust God's word, that he has everything under control. But, family, do we believe that? Do we trust that God has everything under control? When you look at the wildfires out in the West, does God have that under control? When you look at the chaos in our cities, does God have this under control? When we go back and we read the Word of God, he tells us in the end time, these things will happen. And these things must come to pass. Malachi 3, verse 6. Malachi 3 and verse 6. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. It tells us right here that there are going to be some changes. Things have to be cleaned up. He will sift as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. I will come near you for judgment. I will be swift, a witness against sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien, someone who is a total stranger, because they do not fear me. When I look around today in our world, the world in which Jesus Christ left us in, I don't see the fear of God. As I look and listen from time to time to different debates and arguments, in which I try to stay away from, I don't see the fear of God. People are callous to think and believe whatever they want, giving no reference or reverence to God. And I know all of you probably see the same thing. He says, because they do not fear me, so he is going to stand swiftly against those who do evil, says the Lord of hosts. And verse 6, for I am the Lord, I do not change. We can take comfort in knowing that God does not change. We can take comfort in knowing that what we believe and what we have been taught over the years, even to this very day, the Feast of Trumpets, which pictures the return of Jesus Christ, we can stand in hope and believe that because of the fact that he told us that he will return, that Christ will return. And we can hold fast to that. And we are going to believe that because we have been taught this for years. And to walk away from this family is a total disaster. A total disaster when God has given us his truths and then we turn our back on what he has given to us. Why? Because we've become a little complacent in our walk with God. We don't have that belief that we had once before. And I would like to stand here and believe that we all do. But each of us in this room and those that are listening in, we're on different levels of our walk with Jesus Christ. We're not all on the same level. We're all heading in the same direction. But we still have a lot of growth. We have some growing to do. Hebrews 13 and verse 8, you don't have to turn there. We read in verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is comforting for you and me to know that he is the same and that God has not changed. Because then we can hold fast to his word of truth. And then we can believe that on this day, God is going to send his son back. He's going to pull the trigger and say, okay, enough's enough. It's time. You and I are waiting for God to give Jesus Christ the order. It's time. It's time. And so as we pray for that great return of Jesus Christ, as the Feast of Trumpet pictures, family, we have to make for sure that we ourselves are ready. We're ready. Our focus is clear. Isaiah 40, verse 6. Isaiah 40 and verse 6. Verse 6 says, the voice says, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is like grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but here's what you and I can hold fast to. But the word of our God stands forever. It stands forever. And we can hold fast in believing that what we have been taught, what we continue to teach in our Bible studies, in our prayers to God, that no matter, his word will stand. And we can take comfort in knowing that God has not changed. Even though everything around us is changing, God has not changed. His plans for you and me have not changed. So you and I have his word, the truth of God, to hold on to continue to grow with, to continue to overcome. And when we call upon him, to know that he will keep his promise and see us through. No matter what the trial is, no matter what the difficulty. It's just a minor setback. Sometimes God has another plan for you and for me. And we don't always know what that plan is when we're focused on the fallout or the big disappointment. God, family, has another plan. And if he promises to see us through, we can hold fast to his word. Psalms 119. Let's drop down to verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. It's settled. It's grounded. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinance. Everything is and exists because God has ordained it to be so. Comforting. We have these reminders in front of us. When we get down and discouraged and we're looking around and we see all the things that are going around us, Family, hold fast to the Word of God. Hold fast to the truth of God. Verse 91, they continue this day according to your ordinance, for all are your servants. Unless your law had been my delight, I then would have perished in my afflictions. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. He has given you and me life, family, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. I'm going to consider your words. I'm going to stay faithful with you. My focus is going to be on you. Verse 97. I think this is one of our hymns. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the days. You know, family, with all that goes on, are we taking time to meditate on the Word of God? You see, if we don't believe, and which I believe all of us do, but if we don't believe that Jesus Christ is going to return, then this day has no meaning. But I assure each one of us that we will see here shortly that God will continue to hold fast with what he said is going to be and what's going to happen. Even though it doesn't look like it, you know, we may have asked the questions ourselves. God, when is this going to end? We don't see the end in sight. And you know what? That can become a little discouraging for God's people. Because when you pray for years for that return of Jesus Christ, the Feast of Trumpets, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, how many on this day pray, this will be the day that you come back. But he didn't return. But let's not give up hope, because he will return. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Your word, this is my meditation. This is my thought. These are the things that I'm holding on to. I understand more than the anxious because I keep your precepts. I have retained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. This is what you and I do. We meditate on God's word. We'd hold fast to that. We can't turn away from it, family. We can't allow what's going on to discourage us, to bring us down, and to cause us to turn our feet. Verse 105, your word is a lamp. It's a lamp to my feet. It lights my path. See, God did not leave us in darkness. He has provided everything that we need in order to continue to move forward. We just have to keep picking our feet up and moving forward. Matthew 24 and verse 35, you don't have to turn there. It just says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Family, we can hold fast to the word of God and God being true to his word. Many want to believe differently, and sometimes, family, we can become a little discouraged ourselves. And that's a normal process. We're still human. We're still flesh and blood. But we have to go back and rely upon God's word in order to continue to move forward. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. We're being focused on God's word, being strong. We're being focused on God's word because we can count on it, because God is constantly reminding us. And we're going to look at scriptures that continue to remind us. And for some reason, God wants us to be reminded of his word and that we can count on his word. The Feast of Trumpets pictures the return of Jesus Christ. And if we doubt his words, then we're going to doubt his return. has God's word become outdated? Many want to feel and believe that it has. You know, how do you guys, you know, continue to read this old book? Well, it's the word of God. It's the truth of God. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 1. Now, Israel, listen to the statutes and judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. I command you not to add to and not to take away from this word. You know, there are many Bibles that have been printed. And one of the things, I think I have probably 6 Bibles. One of the nice things about it, each one of them has a different author, I think. Well, has a different publisher. But each one of them, when I open the books up and I read it, that word is consistently the same. It's consistently the same. Now, some of the different translations take away some of the effect of the King James, softens the blow a little bit, but yet what we see consistently here is that word does not change. So as they continue to print and reprint the word of God, we can read it and we can see that it's staying the same. Now, the one difficulty I have is this Bible was a gift. It was given to me. I love the Bible. It's King James. I love King James. The book was given to me. One day sitting back here, I got a little frustrated. Because, you know, over the years, you know where certain books of the Bible are. We flip to them all the time. And I was sitting back here, and I was flipping through the Bible. I couldn't find the chapter. So I thought, this Bible's defective. The reason it was a gift to me is because pages are missing out of it. Man, that was a dirty trick. But yet, it was a nice Bible. But later I found out the pages aren't missing. They're there. Someone conveniently put them in the order that they thought that they should be in, and not the order in which they've been in for thousands of years. But yet, the order was changed, but the word stayed the same. It stayed the same. So for a book that has been the number one bestseller for years, is still one that people have in their possessions. And I would be willing to bet that if we went door to door and we start knocking on people's doors and just saying, we're just conducting a survey. We just want to know if you have a Bible in your home. I venture to say we'll probably find out that most people do have a Bible in their home. But then there's one problem with that. Do they read it? Do they open it? There was a wise one in years past who encouraged all of us to go to that bookshelf, pick that Bible off that bookshelf, and what did he tell us to do? Blow the dust off of it. Because it's being used as a bookend or a paperweight. But he says, go blow the dust off of it, open it up. You'll be surprised to know and to understand the things that God will reveal to you if you read it and if you ask him for knowledge and understanding. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 3. He says, your eyes have seen the Lord, what the Lord did to Baal. For the Lord your God has destroyed them from among the people. But you who held fast to the Lord your God, you're alive today, every one of you. We're alive today, family, because we continue to follow the word of God. Deuteronomy 12, verse 32, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. We are commanded to be here on this day, the Feast of Trumpets, to memorialize this day and the return of Jesus Christ. We heard about this in the sermonette. We're commanded to be here, and we're reminded that we are commanded to be here. Revelation 22 gives us a warning when it comes to that word of God. It gives us a warning starting in verse 18. Revelation 22, verse 18. For I testify to everyone who hears the word of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. This is a very serious matter here. And if anyone takes away from the word of this book, and of this prophecy, God shall take away his part in the book of life from the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. You see, so we cannot add to, we cannot take away. So, therefore, family, we can now establish that God's word is true and we can trust and depend on it, and it's not outdated. It's not outdated. We read that all scripture is given for inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that man, the man of God, may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. This book, family, we can hold fast to the words and the teachings in this book because God says, my word will last forever. My word endures forever. He gives us his commandments, showing our love to him and our love to one another. These are commands. These are not ideals and suggestions. These are commands that he has given to you and to me. And we're also told that Christ didn't come to do away with the law. He came to fulfill that law. And so if Christ came to fulfill that law, again, family, we can hold fast to the truth of God and the word of God. Will God send Jesus Christ back as this day pictures? Well, his word tells us that he is and he will. But we don't know the day. We don't know the hour. But yet we can hold fast that it's going to happen, because his word is true. Let's go over and join me, if you will, in John 17. John 17. Let's go down to verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to the heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may be glorified, may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God. Here is his prayer with regards to us today and for those back then. The only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, Father, glorify me together with yourself and the glory which I had with you before the world was. In his conversation with God, he is reminding God of us and his plans for us. I manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world, that they were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Family, today, do we still hold fast? Do we still stand strong? Do we believe that God's got this? Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words. He is saying, I have given them the words that you have given to me. And they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you. And they believe that you sent me. Do we believe, family? Do we believe that the Father sent Jesus Christ? I would say we do. And we have to hold fast to that, because even the same God who sent him will return him back. And that's what the Feast of Trumpets pictures, that return of Jesus Christ. And we're waiting. We're waiting on God to pull the trigger and say, now. The time is now. In verse 13, he says, but now I come to you, And these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them, again, I have given them your word. Verse 17, sanctify them, set them apart by your truth. And we are set apart by his truth and by his word. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by your truth, that we may be set apart by the truth. And we are, family, we are set apart by the truth and the word of God. He says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those whom will believe in me through their word. So we have a responsibility ourselves to do. The world doesn't understand this day. We do. We do understand it. We are looking forward to Christ's return. You know, there are some of us, maybe even in this room, when Christ returns, you might be still alive. You may be still here. You will witness a great moment in life to see Jesus Christ descend back down to the earth. Some of us, as Mr. Wharton has so graciously shared with Mr. Evans and I, are not going to be here. We're going to be someplace else, probably have a box with dirt thrown over the top of us. But nonetheless, whether we're alive or whether we're in the grave, when he returns, he will restore. He will raise us up. He will raise us up. You know, family, we have to watch, as the scriptures tell us today. We have to watch. Matthew 25, down to verse 13, we watch therefore, for you do not know the day or the hour which the Son of Man is coming. You know, prior to the return of Jesus Christ, family, there is going to be great trouble on this earth. There is going to be trials. There is going to be great tribulation, as Matthew 24 and verse 21 shows us. He says, there will be great tribulation such as was not seen since the beginning of the world to this time. And no, nor ever shall be. But when he returns, what condition will he find you and me? What condition will he find us in if we're still alive? I'm hoping Mr. Word is not a prophet. But if we're still alive, what condition will he find us in? Luke 18, verse 8 says, will he find faith? Will he find faith? Will he find faith? Will he find us to be faithful? Luke 21. Join me over there if you will, please. Luke 21, let's go down to verse 25. He says, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear. From fear. This morning, I asked Mr. Faulkner, whenever I say there is a great trumpet blast, Mr. Faulkner had this real long horn. It's probably about maybe 3 or 4 feet long. I asked him to blast the trumpet. And he did. And I thought Mr. Baker just kind of disappeared on us, because Mr. Baker was sitting right in front of him when Mr. Faulkner blew that horn. The fear came over Mr. Baker. The fear came over him. And so when I read this scripture, men's hearts failing from fear. And Mr. Baker, when he got up to speak, he said, that scared him. He said, he knows that that's not the trumpet that we're going to hear, and he was glad, because that little blast right there scared him enough to get up and do the right thing. But he says, fear. Men's heart will fear, and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Then will the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and with great glory. We're looking forward to this happening. Now these things begin to happen. Look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is near. See, we don't hold our head down, we hold our heads up. This is what we have been looking forward to. For the number of years that we've been in the church, and for the number of messages that we have heard on the Feast of Trumpets, we are looking forward to our redemption being near. We're looking forward to Jesus Christ coming through the clouds. Verse 34. But take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, cares of this life. You see, we're getting out of focus here. And we're being given a warning. Do not be caught up in the cares of this life. Don't be caught up in drunkenness. And that day come on you unexpectedly. You know, we're out partying, having a good time. And he came. You see, our focus has to be on the Word of God and the plan of God. He says, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape the things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. You see, family, we've got to be in the right place and doing the right things. If God's got this, then family, we have to now focus our attention back where our attention needs to be, and that is in the Word of God. Matthew 24, verse 30. Then the Son of Man will appear in the heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. They will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. This is where that big blast came from Mr. Faulkner this morning. The angel with a great sound on the trumpet. And they will gather together his elect from all the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Family, we're looking forward to this day. We can hold fast that God's word is true and that Jesus Christ is going to return. He is going to return him. We just don't know that day and that hour. So we have to stay, we have to stand fast with God's word. Prior to the return of Jesus Christ, the world will not be at ease. There'll be great turmoil. There'll be chaos. And yet, they will know. They will know that something interesting and strange is about to happen. But they don't know what. But yet we do. We do. You don't have to turn to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15. Because it reads that the dead in Christ will rise, and those still alive will rise up to meet him in the air. We are looking forward to this. We're looking forward. That's what this day pictures, that great return of Jesus Christ. And he will come with great power, and the world will know it. We're looking forward, as Revelation 15 shows us, we're looking forward to that seventh trumpet blast, because that blast will proclaim the kingdom of God. The seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. We are looking forward to this, but it's not going to be easy times. It's not going to be good times. It's going to be exciting because we know what this means. But we're looking forward to this. The definition of fiction and nonfiction. I'm not going to ask if you know the difference between the two. The young people have corrected me over the last few years I've been down here and said, don't assume we know things. Okay, I'm not going to assume that any of you know the difference between fiction and nonfiction. Well, let me share it with you. Books that are declared to be fiction, the writer writes these books and these novels to entertain the reader. It's for entertainment. It's for excitement. It's for thrills. That's what a fiction book is all about. But a nonfiction book is written to give knowledge and understanding to the reader. The Bible is a nonfiction book. One works off of someone's imagination. The other works off of truth. God's word is truth. God's word is truth. Will God send Jesus Christ back to the earth? Family, the answer is yes, he will. He will. Jesus Christ is going to return, and we can hold fast to that promise. We can hold fast to that. Romans 8, verse 27. Romans 8, verse 27. Now, he who searches the heart knows what the mind and the spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who have been called according to his purpose. You see, his purpose, his plan for you and me has not changed. It has not changed. Paul tells us that he will intercede. He will intercede. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. You know, Mr. Warden was making comments about, you know, people being upset because of certain comments. We'll be like God. Well, God's word says this. God's word teaches us these things. You know, Jesus Christ has us because the Father called you and me out of this world. We're told that we're a chosen generation, that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Now, people can get upset over that. Is that what we think? That we absolutely. Why? Because he said so. And people could take offense. Well, who do you all think you are? Well, we're the children of God. Why, how can you say that? Because his word said so. Now, it's enough to say that we're children of God, but to stand boldly and say that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special people, that we may proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's what he did for you and for me, who once were not a people. There was a time we were not, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Christ says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. We find this in John 15 and verse 15. A servant doesn't know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Everything that the Father gave Christ, he has shared that with you and me. You know, nonfiction is where the author wrote the instructions for knowledge and for understanding. And here's what God wants you and me to know and to understand. He says, you did not choose me, but I have chosen you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask in the Father's name, in my name, the Father will give it to you. And these things that I command you, that we, each one of us, have love for one another. We have to have love for one another. Family, Jesus Christ is going to return. He is going to come back. And he is going to set up his kingdom and his government on this earth. It's going to happen. We just don't know the day, we don't know the time, and we don't know the hour. But God warns us that don't fall asleep. Don't be where we shouldn't be. Because when he comes, he'll be like a thief in the night. Are we preparing ourselves daily for his return? Or are we getting caught up in the distractions, in the trials, and that we have lost our focus. God says, I don't change. We can take great comfort in that. We can take great comfort in the fact that when we kneel down and pray to him, he not only hears our prayers. Christ said, if you ask in my name, the Father will give it to you. But do we believe that? Or do we just lay down and give up and throw in the towel and cry, woe is me? Or do we stand fast and stand strong with the faith that God has given each one of us? We may be on different levels in our walk, but family, we have a responsibility even to each other, to encourage each other, to lift each other up, to be supportive of each other, to be prayerful of each other. We need that. I need your prayers. And I hope you need my prayers. Because there's an adversary out here who is extremely busy. Look at what's going on around you. And he's going to do everything he can to cause us to stumble, to give up, to quit, to go someplace else. He's going to do it if we listen to him, if we yield to him. But we have God's word, family. And we have just established, as we went back and read, God's word is truth. Jesus Christ gave us his word. The Father gave Jesus Christ the word. And he has shared that with you and me today. That should give us hope. That should give us strength. That should encourage us. That should lift us up. He tells us, don't hold your head down. Hold your head high. Lift your head up. Like Mr. White said, God's got this. That's going to be my take for the rest of the week. God's got this, and he does. Do we believe that he does? We have his word. We can hold on to that. We can hold on to these truths, family. God's word is true. Jesus Christ will come. The trumpets will sound. The blast will come. Each trumpet pictures a different meaning and a different attack. This earth is going to be shaken up. It's going to be really shaken up. I like to tell us that, hey, things are going to get better for us. But instead, I want to tell you the truth. Put your seatbelt on. There's going to be some turbulence. There's going to be disturbance in the force. Hold fast. Hold fast. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Don't listen to others who don't have God's word, who want to proclaim that they are Christ. Christ told us that there are going to be those who are going to come and say that they are a Christ. Christ warns you and me today, don't be deceived. Don't become deceived. And it's easy, it's real easy to deceive one of us if we are not focused. If our focus is not clear on the Word of God and what God is telling us and what God is teaching us every day, our head has to be in this Word in preparation for this day to be fulfilled. Things are going to have to happen, and it's going to be shaken up. This world is going to be shaken up. Where will you and I be? Is the question. When Christ returns, will he find faith? Or will he find us up under a rock somewhere, giving up, quitting, throwing in the towel? He did not call us to be defeated, family. That wasn't the purpose. His purpose for you and me is to be right there with Jesus Christ. When he sends Jesus Christ back to this earth, we will rise up with him. We will meet him in the air, as the scriptures tell us. We are going to serve. We have to learn today, family, the things that we're going to be teaching people tomorrow. Sometimes it looks like our struggles and our strives that we go through don't make sense. And that might be true, but it will make sense later. It will make sense later. And for some of us, it will make sense pretty soon. You didn't understand why God was putting you through this. You didn't understand why we were being tested. Well, family, he is going to prove us. He is going to prove us. What did he tell us? Many are called, but few are chosen. Why is that? Why is that? God told us to endure until the end. He didn't call us to be quitters. Things happen. Yes, they do. But we, as God's people, must remain faithful. We must remain faithful to God. Because when he sends his son back, our elder brother, Jesus Christ, whom we have been looking forward to returning back to this earth, for some of us that are getting older, it may get a little discouraging because he has not returned. For 20 years, we've been looking for him. For 40 years, we've been looking for him. For 50 years, we've been looking for him. For 2 years, we've been looking for him. We're looking for him to return. That's what this day is all about. That's what this day pictures. And family, as we go forward, let us go forward knowing and believing that God's word is true. We have proven God's word over the years. I'm quite sure each and every one of us in this room has proven God one time or another. I believe that we have. I believe that we are faithful. I believe that we get discouraged sometimes. I believe that we get down. But you see, that's where we as God's people come together. Iron sharpening iron. Lifting each other up. Encouraging each other. And reminding each other of the hope that lies within each one of us. Because God's word is going to do that for you and for me. If we stay focused and we stay clear. God's word teaches us, family, that he does not change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is truth, and we can hold fast to that truth. Let's look forward to the return of Jesus Christ as the Feast of Trumpets pictures, and then later being at one with God as the Day of Atonement teaches us. Let us look forward to Satan being bound and chained and put away for 1,000 years. Let us serve with Jesus Christ in teaching others the things that he has taught us today. We can be assured that the love of Christ and the love of the Father has not changed towards you and me. His plans and his purpose for us has not changed. So we keep pushing forward towards his kingdom. And we keep our heads up, looking up, getting up, and striving until this day has been fulfilled. We have not heard that seventh trumpet blast, but it's coming. And when it comes, I hope that Christ will find us still faithful to him. And he says, for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. And we look forward to that. We look forward to that. We look forward to this day being fulfilled when Jesus Christ returns.